Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC, with the Restaurant Guys.
Everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Kathleen Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can reach us through restaurantguysradio.com, WCTCAM.com, or download our podcast on iTunes.
Good morning, Anarchy.
Hey, Francis, how you doing?
I'm well. I'm actually all fired up about a number of different things today. We're going to be talking with a guy named Damien Brassel. His restaurant is under attack by foie gras protesters who are trying to hurt him, and we're going to try and help him, and so are you. But that's coming up in the next segment of the show. Do you have anything in particular in mind you want to talk about for the first segment?
Well, we're definitely going to talk about high fructose corn syrup today.
High fructose corn syrup.
You know, there's some big news out.
There's movement.
There is some movement in the movement.
Yeah.
Pepsi and Mountain Dew and Snapple are all going to come out with Snapple is changing over to sugar completely, switching from high fructose corn syrup to sugar completely in April or May, I think. And Pepsi and Mountain Dew are going to introduce products in April called Pepsi and Mountain Dew Retro, which are going to be sugar-based as opposed to being corn syrup-based.
And, Mark, do you know why those companies are doing that? Is it because do you think it's because of the altruism they have and they want to make the world a better place? Do you know why?
Because they want me to have a soda again.
Because of our listeners and because people like them have started to open the counter and look at the label and say, high fructose corn syrup,
that's
no.
That's exactly what's
high
going on.
Syrup, no.
That's
oh,
exactly what's going on in the stores.
Here's what is the two guys who do the juices from Boston or somewhere, forget the name of the company. Well, one of the companies that I buy from.
Okay.
They're sugar based.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I buy them and I don't and I haven't bought high fructose corn syrup beverages in a long time and I put them back on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of you have been doing the same thing and because there's money in it because we've created the consumer demand and we've said, listen, we are smarter than that. Despite all your assurances, we figured out that sugar is better and high fructose corn syrup is bad for you and it's bad for my kids and I'm not serving it.
You know,
I'm not saying that.
A few years ago, I started to look at ingredients, really look at the ingredients on the supermarket shelves. And it is almost impossible to buy a loaf of bread from any of the mainstream companies without high fructose corn syrup in it. It is almost impossible. There are one or two brands that have bread with sugar in them as opposed to high fructose corn syrup. It's almost impossible.
Mark, our bread doesn't have any sugar in it. it doesn't have that at all. Anyway, but
doesn't have any high fructose corn syrup, yeah.
You know, one of the things, though, that has happened in this debate is the Corn Refiners Association has fired back. And let's talk about corn in America.
I left out one little fact about the Pepsi Retro and the Mountain Dew Retro.
They're going to be tastier than the...
They're going to be tastier, without a doubt. But they're also going to have 40 fewer calories than the current corn syrup blend.
But wait a second. The soda producers have told us for years that high fructose corn syrup and sugar are equivalent. And there would have to be no more calories because they had high fructose corn syrup in there. Were they lying?
I guess they changed their mind.
Maybe they were just wrong. Maybe they didn't know, I think.
Perhaps.
Well, you know, the other thing about it is let's talk about corporate welfare. Corn is subsidized. Corn is not grown mostly by your family farmer, your little guy. Corn is grown by huge agribusiness corporations for the most part. It's within your high fructose corn syrup. There are only about 13 plants that make it. It's a complex process. It makes a cheap beverage. And it's only cheap because it's subsidized by the government to a large degree in corporate welfare. The government, who, by the way, is not spending very much money at all, if any, on supporting people who produce vegetables or the family farmers or the fruit stands in your neighborhood. They're not getting any of that federal money.
Some of the irony here is how much easier it is to grow beets and sugarcane than it is to grow corn.
Well, it seems artificially high because the corn syrup is so well subsidized. In any event, look, I can't say that because I'm not a doctor and I'm afraid that somebody's going to sue me that the corn syrup is bad for what's in your body. There's a disinformation campaign going on. One of the things that big industry does when faced with facts, like they did with cigarettes, is come up with a disinformation campaign. We don't know. You can never know. Here's the reality. Here's how science works. This is true of global warming. This is true of almost any scientific fact on the broad population. You can never know 100% for sure. Undoubtedly, unbelievably, we don't know for sure that if you drop 5 nuclear bombs across America that it could end life as we know it.
Because nothing happens in a vacuum either.
But well, and
even if you test something that's already occurred, nothing happens in a vacuum.
But what I'm saying is, but we don't have to drop 5 nuclear bombs before we come to the conclusion that we better not do it. Okay, that it's a bad plan.
Agreed.
So it's the precautionary principle that European governments use. Is they take a precaution if something looks like it's going to be problematic, or the majority of evidence says, you know what, this is probably a problem. Then they take action. There are a whole slew of additives in food and all sorts of products that are not allowed in the European Union that are allowed in the United States. That's a big switch from 20 years ago. It used to be the safe. If you were an American consumer, you were assured of having the safest products in the world. Well, guess what? The European economy is at least as big and even bigger than ours in many ways. And what it's doing is Brussels is passing laws saying, you know what, that compound? Yeah, I know that the American chemical companies helped write the laws that regulate that chemical and lobby the American government. I can't do anything about that. But very often, relying on American science, they'll ban it in Europe. Well, guess what happens to the manufacturer who then can't sell his goods in Europe? There was a load of toys that was found to have some recently seized at the border on its way into Europe from China. It wasn't allowed into the European Union.
Mm-hmm.
It was seized because of chemicals that it contains that are banned in toys that an infant might put in his mouth, that a child might put in his mouth. You know where those toys could easily be sold, could easily be redirected, and probably have? They can ship them to the United States because they're not safe enough for Europe, but they are safe enough for your kids. And the corn refiners have set up the commercials. I think you've seen them on TV. They're maddening. And they basically set up the question where someone who's heard that corn syrup is bad but really doesn't have all the facts is challenged. And because that person doesn't have all the facts on why corn syrup are bad at the tip of their tongue, then corn syrup must be good. Let's listen to that commercial. Let's listen to it. You can find it on YouTube.
You want a bite?
I thought you loved me.
I do. Take 2 bites.
It's got high fructose corn syrup in it.
So?
Well, you know what they say about it.
What?
That it's
that it's made from corn, has the same calories as sugar or honey, and it's fine in moderation.
You only brought one?
Get the facts. You're in for a sweet surprise.
Now, you can find that commercial at sweetsurprise.com, and you have a lot of other commercials that are like that. So basically, because that guy's an idiot,
corn syrup's okay.
High fructose corn syrup's okay. Of course, the guy on their commercial doesn't know what's wrong with it.
Right.
But you know what? Mark and I did a lot of research. We've read a lot. We collated our facts on what exactly is wrong with it. But evidently, there's a whole school of spoofs on this ad.
Because it's ridiculous.
Because enough of you are smart enough to know the real answer. And some people took the time to make some really great videos.
If you want to watch these, we're playing this one now, but if you want to watch these, we'll put up the links.
We'll put the links on restaurantguysradio.com, at link to the show.
There's some great stuff.
Let's play this in an alternate universe where the guy who's a little leery of high fructose corn syrup is not a frickin' moron. And let's see how that one plays out. Let's listen to that commercial. Here we go.
Want a bite?
I thought you loved me.
I do. Take 2 bites.
No, it's got high fructose corn syrup.
So?
Well, you know what they say about it.
What?
That
it's made from corn? It has the same calories as sugar, honey, and it's fine in moderation.
No, that it contains high levels of reactive carbonyls, compounds which are linked to diabetes and diabetic complications, as reported by Dr. Chi-Tang Ho at the 234th National Meeting of the American Chemical Society on August 23, 2007, that the fructose elevates triglyceride levels, increases insulin resistance, and confuses the body's natural sense of satiation which can lead to obesity and, again, diabetes, as reported in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, April 2004. And that it's hard to eat it in moderation because it's an ingredient in so many products, thanks to the artificially high price of real sugar in the U.S., which is caused by tariffs on the importation of sugar and direct subsidies to the corn industry. Oh, and sugar tastes better.
Okay, and the only thing that you miss in that video is that at the end flashes on the screen that the Corn Refiners Association are jerks. The nice thing about the 21st century, the nice thing about the internet is that it's not that difficult to produce a commercial yourself. And a lot of people, if you go out, have done and produced commercials. And here are the facts. The other side of the corn syrup argument can compete on the funny commercial making fun of the other mm-hmm. side level. But you know what else they've got? They've got facts. And, you know, if you want to go and compare the facts, you can go look at it on the internet. And because you're smarter, we've got them on the run a little bit.
We know you're smarter because you listen to us.
We're going to be back in a few minutes talking with Damian Brassel about his restaurant, The Knife and Fork, which is on East 4th Street in the Village of Manhattan. It's an excellent restaurant that's been getting rave reviews. A number of friends have dined there. But the reason we called to talk to him at this juncture is that every week he's suffering through some protesters out in front of his restaurant and protesting his use of foie gras. Why they singled him out, I don't know. But we'll talk to him about that in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys on 1450 WCTC AM and RestaurantGuysRadio.com. I would like to announce the most exciting new project Mark and I have launched in years. We've teamed up with some old friends, Mike and Jennifer Schnurr, and worked with our chefs and purveyors of artisanal food products to create RestaurantGuysChocolate.com. Yeah, baby, we've created a line of extraordinary and delicious chocolates in a palette of thoughtful and complex flavors. They're sexy, they come in a great, beautiful red box, they're handmade, and they make a perfect gift or a perfect personal indulgence. We ship overnight, or you can pick them up at the restaurants. The website is RestaurantGuysChocolate.com, or find the link at RestaurantGuysRadio.com. We put our heart and soul into every box, and each one's made by hand. There's a little bit of my soul in every piece of candy, that's right, and a little bit of Mark's too. So check out RestaurantGuysChocolate.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. And we are welcoming to the show today Damian Brassel. Damian's restaurant on 4th Street in the East Village of New York City is called Knife and Fork. He is formerly head chef at Peacock Alley, which is a Michelin-starred restaurant in Dublin. He's been cooking to rave reviews in the East Village for a couple of years now.
Damian, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Damian, I've passed your restaurants several times. I have yet to go. I intend to this week. But we decided to call you. Your food has been well reviewed. I know a number of folks who've eaten at your place. But we decided to call you specifically because there's a topic that we've talked about a number of times on the show, and it always generates a lot of listener response. You serve foie gras in your restaurant, yes?
Yes, I do.
And you have a little bit of a little more attention drawn to that fact by you've been singled out for protests outside your restaurant. Can you tell us about the situation with the protesters in your restaurant?
Yes, unfortunately, Farm Sanctuary has sort of decided to target our restaurant on Fridays and Saturdays, stating that we serve foie gras, but going on about, they point out the wrong things about foie gras, saying that it's tortured and stuff like that, but we use Hudson Valley foie gras, where they're not completely caged in, but they're force-fed, but that's the problem they seem to have a big issue with, because like with ducks, they have no gag reflex, so it's not... It doesn't hurt them to be force-fed like that, and they can swallow large amounts of fish and pain. And for us, it's like, you know, they're outside there every week, and they're chanting these things. But we'd like to work with them in some way, because, like, foie gras is a fantastic product, and we will, unfortunately, not remove it from our menu. We've increased the amount of dishes we do serve foie gras with now.
I love you. That's awesome.
Well, you know, I Francis and I have talked about this on a number of occasions, and I think a lot of our listeners are pretty well versed on.
And I want to say to anyone who's new to our show, you can go to our archives where we have over 400 shows up there. But if you do a keyword search with foie gras, you will find interviews with everyone from Ariane Dagan to
Michael Ginor from Hudson Valley.
And you'll also hear us talk to animal rights activists. Nancy Alexander has been on our show. Mm-hmm. We've gotten kind of an argument with her, but she came on the show and she voiced her opinion. So the issue of foie gras, or the position that foie gras is certainly animal cruelty, is not I know it sounds counterintuitive if you're not familiar with the issue, but it's not really the case, and it's certainly defensible, and it's our position that foie gras ducks are treated a heck of a lot better than Tyson chickens. So if you're going to start protesting the mistreatment of animals raised for food, don't start with foie gras ducks. Start with your chicken McNuggets.
And I think that's the irony here, and it's more than an irony, because I think that often what's happening with these protesting groups is they're going for the low-hanging fruit. They're going for the small business because Tyson is just too big a corporation to attack.
So this brings us to our question, Damien. In New York City, there are thousands, maybe tens of thousands of restaurants, well, thousands, that serve foie gras, many of them much more high-profile than you, than your restaurant. You know, you're a single proprietor chef.
I'm still trying to figure out that why they come down to me.
That's that you're a single proprietor chef, a hardworking man. You cook in your own kitchen every night. Why the knife and fork of all places?
I believe because we're a small business, and they believe they can back me into a corner, and I will take full graft of the menu. That's what they seem to do. They seem to target the small restaurants, and by picking outside, they think they can do enough damage that we'll remove the product from the menu. But it's unfortunate. They're up against an Irishman. I won't back down.
Well, now, but
like at the moment, we're planning to do a foie gras tasting menu, five different courses, foie gras on five different ways in a few weeks.
Oh, now, when are you doing that, and when will you offer that?
We're hoping to do that in the end of March.
Once you have a fixed date for that, we'll post it on the website, Damien.
That'd be fantastic.
So people can find it.
But it's going to be quite interesting. We're going to do foie gras five different ways, and we'll see what we can do with the product, and, you know, promote it even more. Like, it's an amazing product. Like, in Chicago, the ban was overturned and everything. These people from Farm Sanctuary have to go up to Hudson Valley and see how these geese are even reared.
Well, you know,
most of them haven't.
It's funny. We had Nancy Alexander, who's probably one of the preeminent animal rights activists, who's beyond... We're animal rights activists. I think that foie gras can easily fall, and often does fall into, and in America always falls into the category of some of the more humanely treated farm animals. But it's funny, we spoke with Nancy Alexander, and when countered with the idea that we had gone to visit foie gras farms and seen humane production, she said that, you know, that's not possible. They were probably hiding stuff from us. There's no logic that if someone takes that position that they're right no matter what.
You know, Francis, I'm just going to interject for a second. If you believe that killing animals for food is wrong, I understand that position. Okay, it's not how I feel, but I understand that position. And I certainly we can have a talk about it, and I know that you're not going to change my mind and I'm not going to change your mind, but we can have a discussion, a discourse about that. The problem I have with a lot of the people who protest foie gras in particular, and it's why we talk about foie gras a lot, the problem I have with foie gras is complaining about the way the ducks are treated. Not that we're killing them for food necessarily, though I think that is the end game, that we're eating meat for food, that's what the problem they're having. The problem that they seem to have is the way these animals are treated. But anyone who knows anything about these animals as compared to battery cage chickens or the pig farms throughout most of this country...
That your Oscar Mayer bacon comes from.
It's clearly no competition as to which animal leads a better life.
And let's be clear, Farm Animal Sanctuary and PETA, who are the groups behind most of these protests, are their end goal, and if you look at their literature and go to their website, they believe that killing animals for food is wrong. And they target foie gras just because they think they can create
the
a yuck.
But people that go out and wear the leather coats and the UGG boots.
No, you know, that's the other thing. I mean, are these protesters wearing plastic shoes mostly?
Yeah, they're wearing out with people outside last week wearing a fur coat and another person wearing UGG boots. But, like, they're looking at how some animals are treated years ago. All the farms have changed and stuff like that. And ducks themselves, like, part of nature, ducks will fatten their livers for energy prior to emigration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're working with the Artisan Farm Association, and they've given us literature, and we've been handing it out to them.
I think that's great. I think it's great that you're not being bullied and that we're going to – that you have a reasonable position. And you know what? They have a position that they're entitled to as well. What I don't like is this guerrilla tactic of basically trying to shut – what they're hoping to do is to shut down your business. And
that's what they're hoping to do.
Well, go ahead,
David.
And
they chant outside the restaurant. And there's like the problem where we have a big issue with them now is they're stating that we're serving a diseased product, which we're not. And that's where they cross the line with me and where I stick my heels in. They're saying that I'm serving diseased food.
You know,
and we're getting the finest foie gras we can get out there.
Well, and has it affected business, Damien?
It actually hasn't. My sale of foie gras has increased.
That's great.
Well, Dogtanian's delighted.
One of the reasons that we decided to get you on the radio is one of the things that we would like to do, and we'd like our fair-minded listeners to do, is to patronize Damien's restaurant. And, you know, you can find it at, we'll put the link up through our website. It's knife.
www.knife_fork_nyc.com.
And we'll put that link to that up at the at Restaurant Guys Radio site as well. And what we'd like you to do is go to Damien's restaurant. Damien is a businessman, a restaurateur, practices his craft, works very hard, and these people are targeting him because they're afraid and cowardly, and they're not targeting the restaurant Danny Meyer. Okay, they're not standing outside of Union Square Cafe because they know that most people don't agree with him, and Danny Meyer is not going to be forced down. So they picked a guy, and the wrong guy, who they thought, well, he's a small restaurateur, we can knock him out of business, we can force our will on him, standing outside to put him out of business. And I'm going to Damien's restaurant this week, and we're going to put up information about the foie gras dinner that he has, and we hope that all of you, if you can make it, will go, and when you go, tell him that the restaurant guy sent you.
Damien, there's more irony here. The area that the restaurant is in there's a lot of vegetarian clientele nearby. So on Sundays, you began creating a vegetarian menu for the clientele in that neighborhood. Is that correct?
Yes, I saw a market for them because we work a lot of vegans and a lot of vegetarians are coming in. We sort of turned Sundays into a vegetation tasting menu for them, which we change weekly and stuff like that.
So you have an entire day and an entire menu basically dedicated to vegetarians on your menu, even though you're not a vegetarian, and that's not the way the rest of the restaurant runs.
Well, vegetarian food, to do it well, is very, very difficult, I found. You know, it's trying to get the extract as much flavor out of the produce, and so it became more of a challenge for me. So it's been a really nice bit of business for us. It's working well, and we do the tasting menu for them, and it works out. They get to, I think it's 4 courses for $38.
That's one of the other things that is always written about your restaurant. I mean, prior to this whole foie gras hubbub, is that you're really a hands-on chef, and your menu is very affordable.
Yeah, I'm basically here from about 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. We make all our own breads, desserts. We do all our own butchery and everything. We specialize in 6 courses for $45. We pair that with wines as well for $85.
And you've been doing that since before the current economic downturn.
Yeah, I've been doing it for now nearly 3 years.
What made you decide to open a restaurant in that price point, that price category, and that size? Because I'll tell you, one of the things that Mark and I operate a couple of restaurants in Jersey, each restaurant's about 125 seats, and we started with just one of the restaurants back when it was 50 seats. And I will tell you that the hardest job I ever had was with my partner running that 50-seat restaurant, because you've just got to do it all yourself. What made you decide to go with a smaller restaurant like you have, where you really need to remain hands-on? You can't hire a staff of, you know, 50 people. What made you decide to go with a smaller restaurant?
Well, my background was I'd worked in some of the big restaurants, and we'd done the fantastic tasting menus. And to me, you know, you always had to save up a few weeks to go and have these amazing meals. So when I got the restaurant, I was down the Lower East Side. I saw a market for it. And each week we could get in, we could do 6 courses. And the idea is I can choose the plates that people will have. They get to look at our a la carte. So I can judge the produce that the people have once they tell me of any allergies or anything like that, and I can work it around to work inside my budget. Like last week, we were very lucky with some veal sweetbreads on. We're doing them with coffee and cauliflower. This week, we're going to do a tripe dish. So we do some stuff with organs and different things like that. We get in some amazing salmon and stuff from Tasmania. We'll cure that. And now at the moment, we just keep foie gras on it.
And how do you find that this whole being sort of unwillingly thrust into the middle of this political maelstrom has affected how you've been received by the community overall in the East Village?
Yeah, how are you being treated by the rest of the neighborhood? Save the 8 or 10 people who are outside in their leather coats, you know, yelling and screaming that you shouldn't serve foie gras.
Actually, getting quite a good response from the local people around here. And where the restaurant's positioned, I've people living upstairs. They've come down, they've supported us. We've had people, passerbys, ask them why they're targeting a small restaurant and everything like that. Like we work with a lot of the small shops and different growers here in the Union Square, so we've got a lot of support from them. It's nice too.
Have any of the big boy chefs from New York City come down and had dinner or showed some support?
I've been very lucky. Anthony Bourdain came in about a week and a half ago to lend his support.
Well, I'll tell you, we're going to be in ourselves. We encourage our listeners to go in. Even if you're a vegetarian and you don't believe in eating foie gras for yourself, go in and have a vegetarian tasting menu. And what needs to happen is that when groups are cowardly like this and they target small business people rather than present their ideas in a fair way.
Well, and again, rather than go after, how does anyone stand in front of Damien's restaurant and not stand outside the Tyson Chicken Factory?
Or the Kentucky Fried Chicken.
And pick it, or Kentucky Fried Chicken, or any of those places.
Because if you stand in front of Kentucky Fried Chicken,
or
some,
McDonald's, do you do that?
Because if you stand in front of McDonald's, someone's going to pop you in the nose, which is also wrong, by the way. But anyway, we're going to put Damien's information up on the website. We're going to come see you as well, and we'll let everyone know through our website about the foie gras tasting menu, and we'll make it if we can.
Thanks, Damien.
You can look for Damien's restaurant, The Knife and Fork, on East 4th Street in Manhattan. You can find more information on our website, restaurantguysradio.com. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys on WCTCAM and restaurantguysradio.com. You know, restaurants are offering larger selections of wine by the glass, but I often find that a great glass of wine I order in a restaurant comes to me flat or even spoiled. It's been my experience as a restaurateur that wine preservation systems just don't work, until now. Now, Mark and I have searched for 20 years, and we finally found a wine preservation system that does work. Vinfinity system for restaurants and bars. Vinfinity keeps bottles of wine tasting fresh for weeks. It's got 3 U.S. patents, but it's so simple I could kill myself for not inventing it first. It never needs gas, it takes up very little room, it's easy to install, easy to use, and virtually maintenance-free. And the bottles don't need to stay attached to the machine, so one Vinfinity can preserve an infinite number of wines. We now offer dozens of wines by the glass at Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi, and because of Vinfinity, we know that every glass is right when it comes to you. Tell your favorite restaurant about the Vinfinity system. If you own a restaurant or bar, buy it. Go to VinfinitySystem.com or call 201-988-5953 and tell them the restaurant guys sent you. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis. Great conversation with Damien Brassel. Not a real talkative fellow, but, you know. he is one of those guys. He has a tiny little restaurant, and he gets there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and he's cooking in his kitchen every day.
It's just, you know, it's such a shame that you got a guy who's working 18 hours a day, 6 or 7 days a week, for 3 years in his little restaurant, and you have some people who really don't understand what's going on. Because, again, there's no possible way that you could choose Damien's restaurant over a million other targets. There are one, and again, even I understand if you're on that side and you feel like you have to do something. I understand the mentality. I don't agree with it, but I understand the mentality. But there are a million, and when I say a million, I mean a million targets that should be targeted above a little restaurant like Damien's.
The position of Farm Animal Sanctuary and PETA is disingenuous. They're lying cowards, okay? Because if they're standing on the street saying, foie gras is torture, therefore we shouldn't have foie gras.
But hoping
that some people will say, oh, well, if foie gras is bad, let's think about that. And the reason is, if they said what they really believe and what their real goal is, if they told you what the real goal was, which is, we think meat should be illegal. You shouldn't be allowed to serve meat. That's our ideal. Anywhere. No meat at all.
That you turn off the switch.
People would say, what are those Yahoo idiots out there? 99% of the American population doesn't agree with you. Even many who are vegetarians don't agree with you. So instead of saying what you truly believe, Farm Animal Sanctuary and PETA, you go out there with this cowardly half-step and say, oh, well, we think this kind of meat is bad. It's cowardly, it's disingenuous, and to target a hardworking man like that, you know, go get a job yourself.
And I have such a huge amount of respect for the meat that I eat, okay? I have such a huge amount of respect for the animal that gives up its life to have meat. And I think that we're so disengaged from that. We're too disengaged from that as a population.
I agree.
Okay, we don't kill our own food. We
don't see our own food being killed.
You know, it's wrapped in plastic wrap, and it doesn't look like an animal anymore when we get it, specifically so that we can disconnect. But we do eat meat, okay? We eat meat. So the natural progression from that shouldn't be, well, let's pick on the guy who eats the meat that comes from a real farm rather than And I know I'm harping on this rather than all these other places, but I just want to touch on one kind of humorous part of this that our listeners don't know. So we're getting ready for the show, and Francis is reading about Damien Brassel, and we're talking a little bit about how we're going to get ready for the show. And Francis can't help it, but he knows we're going to be talking to an Irish chef. So he begins to break out in a little bit of a brogue as he's talking, and he just can't. He doesn't even know he's doing it, but he's certainly a little leprechaun-y when he starts to talk.
I have two things to say, you racist bastard. Number one is your brogue is the worst I've ever heard. Okay, it's vaguely Swedish. Okay, and secondly, I did not a big liar. Anyway, I hope you guys have enjoyed the hour of the restaurant, guys. Listen, we need to make a difference. We need to help this man. We need to help Damien Brassel. We need to help his restaurant. And we need to send a message to these people that when they target a small business like that, that the result of their actions will be that more foie gras will be sold, more foie gras will be eaten. We're going to go to the we're going to tell you about the foie gras tasting menu. You can contact Damien yourself. Please tell him when you go that it's from the restaurant guys that you heard about us, heard about him. And
the best way to make a difference here is exactly the what to do the opposite of what they're trying to do. They're trying to get you to not go into this small restaurant.
And it's working on some people. Undoubtedly, there are some people who are being turned away. There have to be more people that say, you know what?
I'm going because of this.
I'm going there.
And what's the worst thing that happens? You go to a nice little restaurant and have a good little dinner.
And by the way, when you tell them the restaurant guy sent you because you heard him on the show and you support him, I'm sure that the chef who's actually there and in the kitchen will be very glad to see you. All right, we'll see you next time. Hope you've enjoyed the hour as much as we have here on the Restaurant Guys. I am Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are the Restaurant Guys, WCTC AM, and restaurantguysradio.com.